Fugitive. A QM production. Starring David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, an innocent victim of blind justice, falsely convicted for the murder of his wife.
That means we're on, talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby, ready to go for another week to kick off another evening of live broadcast on KSAV. If you want to be on the program tonight, the phone number is 800-407-KSAV. If you want to email during the show, send it to talk@ksav.org. The rest of the time, you can reach the hosts by sending emails to fugitive@ksav.org. Bob, Kitty, you guys there?
Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
All right, they finished with the buffet in the green room. You've got a new web page that you put together on the KSAV website,
yes, and
it looks terrific. For those of you that haven't seen it, go to KSAV homepage, and there's a link there for Talkin' Fugitive, and go over and see their new page. Well done, and a lot of work. You want to mention anybody concerning that?
Yeah, because our co-moderator, Leave, is totally responsible for putting that together. And she worked extremely hard on it, and I agree, it looks terrific. And she actually sent me a letter yesterday telling me that she had never set up a web page in her entire life, that she simply went to that to GeoCities, and she taught herself how to do it. So that's quite remarkable.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. I won't waste your time, but I've got a new page up there as well, and it really is very, very simple, and she did a terrific job. Okay, let's get serious then. Incidentally, on your web page now, people can go there and get a preview of what the topic's going to be on the next show.
Yeah, I've been posting sneak previews at our own group site at the Fugitive Views and Reviews. And now we're also putting it there. It's on the second page. There's a link right on that first page that will take you there, and that will tell you what we're going to talk about.
All right, and so let's hear what you're going to talk about this week.
All right, well, tonight we're going to discuss Lieutenant Gerard. Everybody knows who he is. And I've always said that he's maybe the most important person in the entire series. I mean, certainly Kimball is the focus of the story, but without Gerard and without what he does, there is no story. Obviously, Kimball can go and hide in any corner of this vast country and live a very quiet life and just disappear. And many people have done that. But it's because of Gerard that he cannot do that. And everybody knows that Gerard is obsessive in his search for Richard Kimball, because we're told that every week in the opening credits. The narrator always reminds us, as if we needed reminding, that he is totally obsessed with his capture. And I would agree that he certainly is obsessed, and I would agree that he is also extremely dedicated. He may be the most dedicated law enforcement officer in history, in that he is determined to find him. And the only problem I have with this is that over the years, this talk about how obsessive he is has obscured the fact that he may not be very good at what he does, because he simply never captures Kimball at all. He comes close, but he doesn't quite do it. Now, before I launch into this, let me just say that I understand that, of course, the writers cannot allow him to catch him or the series is over. That's obvious. But if you just cast that aside for a moment and just look at it as if this was a real story or a real incident in real life, you have to wonder how it is he even keeps his job, because he does not ever have any results. After 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years, and into 4 years, he's been all over the country. He's spent a lot of the taxpayers' money in Stafford, Indiana, to go travel from coast to coast. And all he does is come close. He never really captures Richard Kimball. It is true that Kimball gets a lot of help from people. He has this unique ability to tell people he's innocent and to convince them of it, and therefore they help him escape. So you have to remember that. However, I'm very disturbed by a lot of the mistakes that Girard makes and how he doesn't follow through. In our group, on our message board about a week ago, and at our website, I also posted a sneak preview in which I mentioned several episodes in which Girard does not take the final step. If he's right on top of Kimball, he fails to go through the final door to find him, or he fails to turn the final corner, or he fails to look in a truck where Kimball is hiding. For a man who's this obsessed with finding him, it's odd that he doesn't go the rest of the way. I think that, you know, he needs to be called on the carpet for that, and he never is. I mean, in the first two seasons, he's got his superior officer there, his boss, Captain Carpenter, who, you know, kind of digs at him every now and then, but he never really mentions to him that for all that he has done, he has never really shown any results. So if Girard is called in for some sort of job assessment, it's not going to look good. I mean, it looks like he's simply wasting money and wasting everybody's time. And I question that. We never talk about that because we're too busy discussing how obsessed he is. And I think that that's something missing in this show, and it's always occurred to me, why do people put up with this? Why does he not have any results for all that he does? And that's my opening remarks. We have two emails, and I'll let Kitty read them, at least the first one right now, and we'll follow it up from there. Go ahead, Kitty.
Okay. Well, this one's from Steve, and he writes, I think Lieutenant Girard is a genius, and even Kimball said so. The reason he can't catch Kimball is because he always gets people to help him. What we're all forgetting is that in the end of The Judgment, Part 1, Girard finally does catch Kimball and brings him into Stafford. Kimball does not get away this time. It took him 4 years, but he did catch him. Kimball was wrong when he told his father, I'll outlast Girard. He really didn't. Even though Girard gave him a chance to prove his innocence, the fact is he did catch him in the end.
Oh, gee, I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with using the word genius when it comes to Girard. I cannot see him as a genius. For one thing, he doesn't have a chance to be a genius because, remember, he's not investigating a crime here. He's not trying to find out who did it. This is not a whodunit for him. That's already been determined in his mind. He's already got the man who did it. So he's simply in on the chase. He's simply trying to find him because he got away. So I don't know that he really has a chance to be a genius, but I have to take a really exception with those comments about the final episode. I don't want to get too far into it now, because later on we'll do several shows on that, obviously. But at the end of Part 1, it is true that Girard catches Kimball because Kimball's tired. He's simply tired. It's the end of the series. He's exhausted. He doesn't want to run anymore. He makes it very clear, and he walks right out into the street to catch a cab, and Girard comes up behind him and tells the cab to leave, and that's it. I mean, this is not... Girard does virtually nothing in The Judgment, with the exception of the shooting at the very end. He does absolutely nothing, really, to catch Richard Kimball. It's just sheer exhaustion that causes Kimball to go ahead and go back and try to find out what's going on. All I can remember Girard doing is looking at his watch and reminding Kimball over and over again that he's going to give him something like 24 hours to prove he's innocent and there's a real witness. But, you know, he keeps telling him they're running out of time. I don't see any genius there at all. Do you you think he was a genius anywhere in this series?
No, not really. I mean, because first of all, I think you bring up some good points that if Lieutenant Girard was a real lieutenant in real life, he would never be allowed to go chasing a fugitive all over the country like he's doing. I mean, he'd be fired the first time he tried running off to go do something like that, because that's actually an FBI matter, not a matter for the local cop in Stafford, Indiana, who worked the crime. I mean, once a person is convicted, they're out of the picture. I mean, that cop's got other crimes to investigate now. So I think the fact that he's so obsessed, to me, always is kind of... It's not so much that he's a genius to me. This is all about his ego. He's all mad because Kimball escaped while he was taking him to death row. And, you know, and even though there are things that happen along the way, where it seems so blatantly obvious to the rest of the world that Kimball didn't kill his wife. In the final analysis, he really doesn't care if Kimball killed his wife, I don't think, because all he cares about is catching Kimball. You know, when in actuality, a normal person might start to question some things after a while, particularly in the last episode that I just wrote a review for, which we haven't posted yet, so I won't elaborate on that.
I'll tell you one thing. I will give Gerard credit for two things in the first season. In Never Wave Goodbye, which we discussed for three shows, just ended last time, he is a genius momentarily when he finds a matchstick that he manages to trace back and find where Kimball is working at. That was really smart. That was good. That was very interesting that he just happened to look down and he saw it, and it wasn't just a cast-aside matchstick. He saw the word sales on it and decided, you know, Kimball's in town and this is where he's working. That was really smart. And then at the end
he does have his moments. I mean, for example, too, if you also look at that episode, I believe it was Corner of Hell, where he ended up with those hillbillies that wanted to lynch him.
Right.
I mean, he managed to track Kimball to that area just on a mere sighting, and so he managed to hit pay dirt that way. But, you know, you also brought up a good point about Gerard earlier, where Gerard is able to just go do all these things. I mean, this is just a cop who walks into someone else's jurisdiction and starts throwing his weight around. It's amazing how these other cops allow this guy to bully him, you know, by whose authority. I mean, what gives this guy the right to come in and throw his weight around and boss all these people around? You know, from a certain standpoint, you look at it in that episode Corner of Hell, what happened to him with those hillbillies was almost kind of poetic justice, because for the first time, he couldn't throw his weight around.
Well, I will give him credit also, aside from Never Wave Goodbye in Season 1, the very last episode of the season, The End Game. In The End Game, he really does have Kimball trapped in one particular city, and he does a good job in really tightening the screws. I mean, Kimball can go nowhere. And there are moments there when it looks like he's got him. And that was really good police work. I was really impressed by that. But what really interests me is that in After Never Wave Goodbye, the writers never really allow him to be too smart again. And I think they obviously do that for a reason, because if he gets too smart, he's going to catch Kimball at some point, or it's going to look ridiculous to see him always come just this close but never close the deal. So I think they almost consciously or maybe unconsciously had to pull back a little and not have him be too smart. I mean, based on what he did in Never Wave Goodbye, I would say that, you know, this is a guy to worry about, that he knows he can follow the slightest clue and find out where Kimball goes. But they don't go there, and I think that was probably a very wise decision. Now, we're in Season 3 right now, and it's going to be a year before we get to a late Season 3 episode called the 2130, in which Gerard joins forces with a supercomputer to try and find out where Kimball is, what part of the country he's at. And he has some success during that episode, but even at the end of that, he gives up too fast. He decides that now that Kimball knows he's being chased by a computer, he will change his ways, he will go in opposite directions, and it's a waste of time. This is an example to me of not following through. He does this over and over and over again. In Season 1, you know, I mentioned in my sneak preview in Nightmare at North Oak, I mean, he's got Kimball behind bars. If you can't catch him when he's already in jail, then I don't know what hope you have the rest of the way to ever catch him. I mean, he's got him in prison. Of course, Kimball's been given a key by the sheriff's wife, but Gerard falls for the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
Kimball hides. He's already escaped from the cell, and Gerard doesn't see him in there. So he walks in to see if he's under the covers, and Kimball comes up behind and hits him over the head. Well, you know, come on now. I mean, that's, you know, how many times
that
has
classic,
that been done?
Classic Western bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Also,
guys, we've got Ken from Vista. I wonder when he. I thought maybe he had phone troubles or something. But listen, we're gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll bring Ken on if that's all right with you.
Okay.
And we will continue to talk about the genius of Lieutenant Gerard when we continue to talk Fugitive on Retro Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave White, your host of Talkin' Television with Dave White, broadcast every Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on KSAV. Each week, television guru Tim Carmody and I discuss the programs, series, stars, and more that our audience wants to hear about. Expert guests, your phone calls and emails make this a fun 90 minutes of live programming. So schedule some time on Tuesday evenings to tune in to Talkin' Television with Dave White. We're working hard to put television on the radio.
Talk and Fugitive continues with moderators from the Fugitive Views and Reviews discussion group. I got it right. There was a death this week of veteran actor Paul Carr, and he had an association with the Fugitive, didn't he?
Yeah, he was in the episode Nightmare at North Oak. He was the deputy in that, and he was also in an episode called Dark Corner, which starred Tuesday Weld as a blind girl. So he was in two of those, and he was also, there are various Fugitive reunions on the West Coast and around the country from time to time, and he was at the last one that was in 2004 in January. He appeared on a panel with Barry Morris and several other people, including Walter Grauman, at that panel discussion. So, yes, he has passed away, and the longer this goes, the more we lose people, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's originally, you know, we started out kind of talking about the death, and it got to where that was practically the whole show was turning into. All right, well, you let me know when you want Ken on, so you go ahead and pick up from here.
Okay.
Hi, Kitty.
Well, I'd like to read Phil's email. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Phil answers two questions. The first being, is Gerard too obsessed and impulsive to be effective? He says, there is no doubt in my mind that Lieutenant Gerard is a thorough and skilled investigator. It just seems that each time he has Kimball captured or is about to capture him, he either trips over himself or some ordinary person Kimball has befriended or helped out somehow is a catalyst in effecting Kimball's escape. Lieutenant Gerard has acted impulsively, i.e. going off into the backwoods alone in Corner of Hell and using the Coast Guard dinghy in Part 2 of Never Wave Goodbye, and has got himself into big trouble as a result. I think this makes Kimball realize that Gerard will never give up and keeps Kimball on the move. Not only does he have to avoid Gerard, but he still has to try and locate the one-armed man. So in conclusion, I guess he is effective as it relates to Kimball. If Kimball lets his guard down, he will be recaptured. And the second part of why can't Gerard close the deal on Kimball, in my opinion, Gerard has made the mistake of taking the train wreck and resulting escape too personally. You lose all objectivity. No one has ever blamed Gerard for the escape. It is too bad they never worked the angle of Gerard's obsession with Kimball and the resulting stress it caused with his co-workers in the Stafford Police Department. The writers touched on it with his family, but the only person who interacted with Gerard in his own department was Captain Carpenter. I guess being a retired police officer, I could never see a department let one of their officers go off willy-nilly whenever Kimball was sighted. What he did on his days off and annual leave would be quite a different story, and I am sure Gerard did this, but it was never set out in any plot lines other than in the episodes Nemesis and Landscape with Running Figures. And, you know, I think he touches on what I was saying earlier, is that a lot of this is Gerard's ego, you know, and it, I think it's also kind of a shame, you know, he brought up another good point about the co-workers in the Stafford Police Department. It's too bad we've never actually seen anybody other than Captain Carpenter, you know.
Yeah, I know, Kitty, but you and I both know, and those people who bothered to watch the second series of The Fugitive 2000, 2001 with Tim Daly,
mm-hmm.
that they did kind of go into that area.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out too well. So I'm a little hesitant.
Well, they kind of did that, though, in Overkill.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to at least have seen Gerard in one or two episodes. I mean, certainly didn't have to dedicate half of an episode to it. But it might have been interesting to see him in, you know, at least maybe one scene interacting with somebody other than Gerard, you know, to see what do his co-workers think of this guy who's this respected police officer who keeps going off on a whim to catch this one guy.
Well, how about this? Does it increase their workload because he's not doing it?
Yeah. I mean, it makes you wonder, is there some resentment at the office?
Also, Phil makes some good points, and he should know because he's a retired police officer, but he makes some good points when he talks about Gerard taking it too personally. However, I don't really see that in the series. Unless I'm wrong, I don't remember him ever telling Captain Carpenter or anybody that he felt he had to go after Gerard because he got away while he was in his custody. That doesn't seem to bother him. I may be wrong about that, but I just don't recall any time in which he said, well, I feel bad about it. He got away. It was a train wreck. It wasn't my fault, but I'm the one responsible for bringing him back. I don't sense that. Whether he was thinking it is hard to predict, but...
Well, he's never actually said that, but when you think about a motivation for a guy, you know, when you think about that's normally a job for the FBI to be handling... What other reason could there be for Lieutenant Gerard to be running all over the place to try to catch this guy when he's out of his jurisdiction whenever he goes into a place?
Kitty, let's go to Ken's phone
sure.
before we run out of time.
All right, Ken from Vista. I'm glad the phone's back working. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Kitty. Very interesting discussion. These first two seasons, we've seen Gerard a lot. I agree and disagree. I think you're right, Bob, that Gerard's made a lot of mistakes. You know, never wave goodbye, search in a windy city, you know. He let Kimball get away. There was, you know, the other ones, May God Have Mercy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was ridiculous how he has them chained to a bed and still Kimball gets away. And then also Corner of Hell, which I did not like that episode at all. I thought that was just way out in left field. You know, he goes into the wilderness by himself, and he's going to get Kimball himself. Give me a break. So I agree with you there, Bob. I think, though, Gerard has been successful in putting fear into Kimball, number one.
Yeah.
So Kimball's always looking over his shoulder. He's been successful there, and also he's a good interrogator. Remember, Search in a Windy City?
Sure.
He... interrogated Paula Decker.
Right.
And so he trapped her there.
Yeah.
He also, in May God Have Mercy, that episode is a key. He interrogated Telly Savalas' character, Vincent, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So he can get results there. So what do you think?
Well, but he doesn't close it. That's the problem. I mean, let's take a look at an average person at your own job. If you have a job and your boss calls you in and tells you you're not doing the job he expected of you, whatever it is, and you say to him, yes, but I'm so dedicated. I'm here every day. I never call in sick. I never come in late. I love this job. I work all day. I take a short lunch break. What more do you want from me? And your boss is going to say, I want you to do it right. If you don't do it right, you're going to be out of work. It's always been that way for me. So I don't think all of these things we talk about and how you know, dedicated he is and all that doesn't really work for me because he doesn't come to that final thing where he actually does catch him. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And I think he's costing the taxpayers a lot of money to run back and forth across the country. And if Stafford hits bad times, they're going to look at the police department and wonder where all this money is going down the drain for this guy to run around when he comes up short, comes up with nothing. He's a good interrogator, but what does that get you?
Kimball's got a lot of help, but through all these episodes, you know, remember, people have remember Amy? She took a bullet.
Yeah.
And then you had another episode where at the airport, Gerard was close, and Gilbert Rowland character
right.
really played a key there.
But do you have a problem with you mentioned Amy. You have a problem with the end, but the beginning and the fact that Gerard walks up to the kitchen door where Kimball is hopelessly trapped. There's nowhere to hide. He can't get out the back door. He can't get out. And that a cat runs out, so Gerard doesn't simply open the door.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
So, he's made a lot of mistakes. I think you need to give him a little break. What do you think, Kitty?
Oh, I don't know. I'm finding Gerard is getting more and more irritating as the series is going on, especially after this last episode that I just reviewed and sent to Bob. So, he's to me, this last episode really shows that Gerard doesn't care about the truth. He just wants to get Kimball one way or the other. I mean, it really is that he is, to me, it really comes across that he is obsessed and that at this point in time, he doesn't care if Kimball killed his wife or not. He just wants to catch him because he was found guilty. Never mind what new possible evidence could be coming out of the woodwork.
Kitty, he's not quite the interrogator, not quite the investigator that Tommy Lee Jones was in the movie, is he? Because by the end of the movie, Tommy Lee Jones is convinced that he didn't really kill his wife, right?
Right, right. I mean, you know, he was certainly a Gerard who, who could look at it objectively and say, okay, here's something interesting that we just discovered, you know, and I'm not just going to blow it off. You know, it's like maybe there is a point to this.
That's right. See, because I could never imagine the Gerard played by Barry Morris coming to the end of that movie and saying, yes, I know you didn't kill your wife. Because I think he would have stood there until the very end, like he did at the judgment, and say, you know, unless there's a witness, unless there's somebody who can actually say, yes, I was there, I saw it, he doesn't buy any of it. I think that he gets too much credit for being obsessive, and that obsessive behavior does affect his work as an investigator or as a lieutenant.
Well, and not only that, you know, you're talking about how he says, unless there's a witness. Well, this next episode that we're reviewing, there is a witness.
Right.
And, you know, and Gerard, as I put it in my review, Gerard blows this guy off and makes it out like this guy is some street junkie pimp.
Exactly.
You know, when in actuality he's an upstanding citizen who had a problem. And, you know, if I was sitting on the jury, I don't know that I would be so quick to dismiss this guy's testimony the way Gerard is.
Well, that's the problem, because he's so focused on one thing, he won't see any of the other things. And I just think that, you know, I mean, this is how he has to be in the series, obviously. But in real life, this would never work, and Ken's right, and Phil is right, that he would never be allowed to drop everything he's doing. And go, and another thing that he doesn't do well is, he goes after every sighting. He doesn't simply pick and choose by saying, you know, this sounds like the real deal. This sounds like the real thing. All you have to do is say you saw Kimball walking down the street, or you saw him run into an alley, and that's enough right there. He's
but then again, there are times where he doesn't. I mean, there was certainly the episode Smoke Screen. He didn't go running off to find Kimball in that.
Right.
We had that one episode where his wife was in the background. He gets a call in the middle of the night, and it's like, oh gosh, are you sure it's Kimball?
Right.
And, you know, he actually has to think about it. And then my personal favorite is the Survivors.
All right, look, I think we're down to the last minute.
Okay.
Do we have it going? Ken, thanks a lot for calling. I hate to cut you off here, but unfortunately time has run out. We'll talk to you hopefully in a couple weeks. For Bob and Kitty, I'm sorry to cut you off also, but as they say, the time has ended. Next week. Everybody tune in. Getting to Know You with Susan McCrae will be on at this time, 6 o'clock Pacific. And this Thursday, rebroadcast of this show at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern, and in 1 hour talk and television with Dave White. Thanks, Kitty. Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you.
See everybody in a couple weeks on ShareaVision Radio.